Since I've been hearing the same thing from many of our starseed family, I thought it was time to record a condensed crash course on how to manifest prosperity. Years ago, when I was a struggling, starving musician, I complained to Lavendar one day, "You can't light up the world if you can't pay your electric bill." I was half joking and half serious, but that observation had so many levels that it's kind of become a code for us. I understand all too well what it's like to make deals with utility companies and landlords and having to put things back at the grocery store. I didn't like having a PhD on survival, but I hated the thought of being part of the 40 hours a week corporate machine even more. Music has always been my passion, so I was constantly scrambling to find enough gigs to get through another month. Then two things happened within days of each other and changed all of that forever. A friend of mine had given me a cassette tape of Esther Hicks channeling Abraham's teachings on manifestation. There was something about it that was so clear, so succinctly put, that it resonated with me completely. I listened to it over and over again, trying to brainwash myself, but it wasn't until the second thing happened that it clicked. Many of you may be familiar with Abraham's teachings, but over the years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have done so many workshops with so much to offer that there may be some pieces you're missing if you find that you still have financial challenges. So my goal with this recording is to take all the bits and pieces that I've found to be very useful tools and exercises and put them all together in a nice, neat little package for you. And I'll add it to our vault of knowledge in MP3 form so you can listen to it over and over if you need to until that click happens to you. The basic and most important concept to understand is that we are all vibrational beings. I know this isn't news, but that's the basis. Every second of every day, your thoughts and emotions exist as a definable vibration with a specific frequency. In essence, you're a radio tower broadcasting nonstop to the universe. The law of attraction is always at work, always in motion, and so is the universe. If you want to understand the quantum physics of this, I suggest watching two movies called What the Bleep Do We Know and The Secret. The beauty of the law of attraction is that it is absolute. It's a universal constant. It works for everyone in the same way, for better or for worse, and you can count on it. The universe is always sending you a match for your emotional vibrational frequency. The key word here is emotional. It's the feeling you project that carries the power. You can make positive affirmations all day long, but if you still feel poor, you're wasting your time. You're not going to get ahead. Now, don't get me wrong, positive affirmations are very important, but only if you don't cancel them with your emotional state. The perfect illustration of this is the second thing that happened that week that really made it click for me. I'd been listening to the tapes, trying to do the exercises and refine my manifestation skills, but it seemed like I wasn't doing something right. Then something happened, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was a Tuesday afternoon, and of course, musicians never work during the day, so I had gone to the barn to ride my horse, Avatar, who is the galactic horse that you may have heard about on our radio show. I owned his mother before him and took him out of the bag the night he was born, and I was and am committed to his care for the rest of his life. But it was a struggle to feed him and keep shoes on his feet, just the same as any other child. So I often went without so I could feed him. I'm telling you this so you can understand my perception of reality at that time. I saddled him up with my third hand English saddle and bridle, my leather chaps and gloves, which had been a Christmas present, and set off for my pleasure ride in the woods. And in order to get back to the barn, we had to walk alongside the road for about 50 yards. And in that short distance is when it happened. A really beat-up old car filled with Mexicans was passing by us. I glanced over because the car was making so much noise, and I made direct eye contact with one of them, and I could read her thoughts. Look at that rich American, not even working on a Tuesday afternoon, horseback riding in that fancy outfit. As my consciousness melded with hers in that split second, I saw myself through her eyes, through her reality. I had a shot of adrenaline rush through my consciousness that dissolved my old concepts of my financial position in life. My first thought was, I must be rich, because only rich people have horses, and I have a car that I don't have to share. You probably heard the saying that reality is only a matter of perception, but seeing it and commanding it are two different things. So let's get into commanding prosperity perception. Would you rather wish and hope for prosperity, or would you rather command it? There's a whole different frequency between hoping and deciding. Hope allows for failure, incompletion, and disappointment. Hoping also takes it out of your hands. Deciding to create gives the power to you. So the first thing you have to do is simply decide to create prosperity. The energy has shifted already. Now, these are some exercises that I've learned from Abraham's teachings over the years, plus a couple of techniques that I really don't remember where they came from, only that they work. The first thing you need to do is pay attention to your solar plexus, which is the chakra center in your stomach. It is your inner guidance telling you whether or not something is in alignment with your desires, or your mission for that matter. The next thing you have to do is decide what it is that you desire to create deliberately. The spoken word and the written word both have great power, and the written word helps bring it into the third dimension. So make a list and write it down, and be very, very specific. I know you're already starting to put those big things down on the list, as if you were a first-year piano student wanting to start with Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. But we have to start with something you don't have a huge emotional attachment to, because you have so much energy built up around the big things. You first have to prove to yourself that you can do it. Abraham teaches us to hold the pure vibration of what it is that you're wanting for 17 seconds. I started with feathers because I like feathers, and I don't have any emotional investment in attaining them. You can choose anything from your everyday environment. Some people choose blue glass, others choose butterflies, particular birds, coins on the ground, good parking spots, anything, as long as you have no emotional investment in it, and it's a common object in your vicinity. The next step is finding the vibration of joy of having that object. The beauty of this part is that the universe doesn't know the difference between pretending, reminiscing, or actually having. All it knows is the vibrational frequency you transmit. Search your memory for any moment in your life where you felt such gratitude that it brought tears to your eyes. When you felt such joy that your stomach was tingling, that's the sensation that must accompany the image in your mind for a minimum of 17 seconds. You must hold that pure frequency. For 17 seconds, you have to be the joy of having that which you desire. Abraham says that 17 seconds of a pure frequency is equal to 200 man or woman hours of physical work towards that desire. A continuous 30 seconds would be 2,000 hours. 68 seconds would be 20,000 hours. You don't have to break your back and work yourself to the bone. You just need to find the frequency of joy and gratitude, hook it to that which you desire, and hold it for a minimum of 17 seconds. Don't allow any other thought into your mind or any other feeling into your heart while you are doing your 17 seconds. It has to be the pure vibration of gratitude for having that which you desire. It says in the Bible to pray for a thing as if you already have it and give thanks. After you've planted your first manifestational seed, the next step is allowing it to develop and grow and to come to you. You can't run outside the next day and dig up to see if it's sprouting roots. The moment you observe that it doesn't have roots yet, you've canceled yourself. But you can always start over. When you get into the car to go to the grocery store, you don't call ahead to make sure they're open. You absolutely know they're open and get in the car without any doubts. It's kind of like that. So now you've decided to manifest some common everyday thing as your first exercise. Like I said before, I chose feathers. I thought about how pretty they were and how they represented birds in flight and freedom, the pretty colors and how delicate they are. I thought of holding one in my hand, and I gave thanks from the core of my being for this precious thing. I called up so much gratitude that my eyes started welling up with tears of joy. A few days later, I was walking my dog and I was barely out of my driveway when I looked down and saw a feather on the ground. My heart jumped when I saw it, and when I picked it up, I relived my 17 seconds, only this time with even more joy and gratitude. Every time I found a feather, and whenever I happened to think of it during the day, I did another 17 seconds for my feathers. Within a few weeks, I had to decide what to do with all these feathers, so I went and got a styrofoam ball and started sticking them in. Then I decided that I liked the blue jay feathers the best, and now my 17 seconds was all about blue jay feathers. I was just tickled when I started finding only blue jay feathers, and I was walking in the same neighborhood. So after my styrofoam ball didn't have any more room for feathers, I decided on butterflies because I wouldn't have to bring them back home. I used the exact same process, only now I focused on how much I love butterflies, and I hooked it with that emotion of gratitude. I started seeing butterflies wherever I went, and I was careful to allow them to be my butterflies. One fleeting thought of that butterfly would have been here anyway would have canceled my manifestation. Another thing I noticed is that attracting butterflies into my reality happened more quickly than the feathers, probably because I was getting better at holding the pure vibration for more than 17 seconds. I'll never forget the day I was walking my dog. I was no more than a block from my house when I noticed a few butterflies and I smiled. But by the time I reached the end of the block, I was being swarmed with dozens of butterflies all around me, and they followed me. By this time, I was giggling with gratitude. What next? Hummingbirds. That's it. Hummingbirds. So I went out and got a little hummingbird feeder and hung it outside where I could see it from inside the house. I did my 17 seconds and I thought of seeing a hummingbird with joy in my heart, and I waited. After having such quick success with feathers and butterflies, I fully expected to see a hummingbird almost immediately. But every time I'd look out the window, there was no hummingbird. What I didn't realize at the time was that every time I observed they're not here yet, I was canceling myself. I tried for 2 months, and I kept canceling myself. I did it before, so where are my birds? When I realized I wasn't allowing hummingbirds into my reality by observing their absence, I decided to try something a little different. I went out to my hummingbird feeder and cupped my hands around it and did my 17 seconds or more and imagined how it would feel when I saw my first visitor to the feeder. When I walked back into the house, the phone rang, and before that conversation was over, I saw the most precious little hummingbird at my feeder. Again, the feeling of joy and gratitude in that moment is one I'll never forget. I have 3 more exercises to tell you about, but first I want to quote Abraham. Nothing is as important than that you feel good. When you catch yourself thinking a negative thought, it's the perfect opportunity to pivot that energy and think about something that makes you feel good. The goal is to be feeling good at least 55% of the time. The best way to accomplish that is through what Abraham calls segment intending. This is when you break your day down into small segments and only focus on the task at hand. For example, if you have to go to the grocery store, intend to have a safe and relaxing drive there. Find a great parking space and all the delicious food you'll be bringing home. Be grateful for having a car, for being able to walk through the grocery store, and being able to buy your food. Don't allow thoughts like, I only have a limited amount of money for food, because that's not the seed you want to plant. Each segment of your day is an opportunity to change your perception and therefore your reality. One of my favorite exercises is taking 50 $1 bills, folding them in half, and putting them in my top shirt pocket before I go to Walmart. When you fold them in half, it looks like a really big wad of money. I don't allow myself to think it's only $50. I keep looking down at my pocket, bulging with money, and thinking, I have a big wad of money in my pocket. I stroll through Walmart, just browsing through the aisles, looking at anything that catches my eye, and I say to myself, I could buy that if I wanted it. I just don't want it right now. When I make that statement, I go to my feeling of joy and gratitude, and as far as the universe is concerned, emotionally, I spent thousands of dollars that day. It doesn't matter that the $50 never came out of my pocket. It only matters that you transmitted the frequency of prosperity and allowed the universe to deliver your abundance, because it always gives you more of what you're focused on. Unexpected cash is a great seed to plant, so anytime you see a penny on the ground, pick it up and give 17 seconds of thanks for the unexpected cash. If you look at it and say, oh, it's only a penny, I'm not bending over. Energetically, you've told the universe that you don't want the money. Now, after you decide on what it is that you're wanting, make a list and write it down. Start with the smaller things, like the feathers or whatever you choose, and do your 17 seconds or more. When you see that thing come into your life, move on to the next. Then pay attention to the feeling in your solar plexus or stomach area. If it feels tight or uncomfortable, then what you are thinking or doing at that moment is not in alignment with your manifestational desires. It's the perfect opportunity to pivot that energy back to the frequency of abundance and gratitude. Starseed people carry a lot of power, and if you don't know how to focus it on what you want, you can bring more of what you don't want faster than non-starseed. Even though my focus here is on prosperity, this process works for health, careers, and even relationships. But I have to caution you that you must never interfere with anyone's free will. You can use it to attract a mate, but don't name any names, and be very, very, very specific with the qualities that you're seeking in a relationship. The next technique I call the magic checkbook. I happen to have an old batch of checks that had been misprinted, so I used them for this exercise, but when those were gone, I scanned one of my normal checks and made several copies. You don't really have to go through all that trouble, but the idea is to make it feel as real as possible. Do the same thing with your check register. The overall idea is to make imaginary deposits and write checks for everything you want to manifest. You can customize this to fit your own experience, but think about the most amount of money you've ever made in a day when you came home feeling victorious. You know how that feels because you've already seen it. That's the amount of money you should write as a deposit in your check register every day. Then start spending it, writing the checks for whatever you want, but don't think limiting thoughts like, I better save some. Just keep depositing and keep spending, feeling joy and gratitude with every check. Take all the checks you've written and put them in a little treasure box of some kind and keep it closed to hold the energy of unlimited abundance. It takes about 30 days to override past negativity and programming and replace it with the pure vibration of 17 seconds of gratitude for your abundance. I can't stress enough how powerful your words are. It's essential to police your thoughts and keep your transmitter on the frequency that's aligned with your desires, but it's absolutely imperative that you never utter words of shortage or lack to anyone. Don't give your attention to circumstances that you're trying to end. The law of attraction never sleeps, and the universe is always working to bring you what you're focused on. Remember that you are made in the image of the Creator. And even though you might be just a tiny spark of that source, you have the power to create the universe you live in, whether it's by default or by deliberate creation. Even more powerful than the spoken word is the written word. This last technique is called scripting or journaling. It's the diary of your future, however you wish it to unfold. Each day, just for a minute or two, write in your journal about a day you're having in the future. You're actually writing the script that you wish to experience. Always write in the present or past tense, because writing or saying things like "I will," or "someday," or my new job will be wonderful," that keeps it in the future and out of your present. Listen to the energy in these two statements. I'm going to be getting a wonderful new job, doing what I love, and I'm going to make a lot of money. I just got home from my first day at my new workplace, and I really loved the feeling of helping all those people. My coworkers were so supportive and kind, and I'm making twice as much money as I did before. I am so grateful to be living my dream. Always write your future script as if it's already happened, and describe how that makes you feel. So, just to sum up, practice your manifestation with objects that you have no emotional investment in attaining. Pick a moment from your past when you held the highest joy, the most gratitude, the most money, or the greatest happiness, and go to that frequency. Relive it with all your heart. As soon as you're there, bring the image into your mind of that which you have decided to attract, and hold that pure frequency for a minimum of 17 seconds. Then you must allow it to come, and know that it must come, because the law of attraction is absolute. Employ your segment intending as you go through your day to help you reset your thought patterns, giving focus to the gratitude you feel for all that you've been taking for granted. Get as many $1 bills as you can, and keep your pocket or your wallet or your change purse stuffed so that each time you look at it, you tell yourself, "I've got a big wad of money." You can also keep it in a drawer so that anytime you want, you can go look at a big pile of money, never allowing the amount to enter your thoughts. Create your magic checkbook and make your deposits every day and continue to write checks. Don't let the money pile up. You need to keep the flow in and out. Police your thoughts and words for canceling and limiting energy at least 55% of the time, and start writing the script of your future. You might want to check out the Abraham Hicks website, which is Abraham-Hicks.com, and watch the movies The Secret and What the Bleep Do We Know. You have so much power, and you were born with so many gifts. It's like being born with a pair of six guns and a couple phasers and photon torpedoes and a sword too, but you're letting the third dimension beat you over the head with a stick. Suffering was not part of the deal here. So practice your manifestational skills until you can finally pay the light bill and light up the world.